You are listening to a presentation of Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, go to streamschurch.org.
Well, good morning. Everybody's doing good? So it's been a fun weekend. So Pastor Lloyd is in Japan right now, safely made it there, and enjoying time with his family. My wife is out of town as well, so I'm learning how to take care of my kids this weekend. Put a cast on one of them on Friday. So, but that was not under my watch. It all happened under her watch. I just had to clean up the mess. Just saying. Let's take that out of the recording. All right. So it's been a fun weekend. We've been hanging out, and I'm excited to be up here this morning as we continue this journey of the promise. We've been going through the book of Joshua, just kind of methodically making our way through, and it's been an incredible few weeks, and we started off a few weeks ago with Lloyd asking the question, do you believe, do you have the faith, and then do you have the courage to actually go forward? Do you believe that God can do it, and then do you have the courage to follow through? And then he asked the question, are you willing to come together in unity and do this thing together? Not as lone individuals, but together as a collective group doing this. And then Shannon, my wife, spoke and asked the question, are you willing to go after the one? Because God is always going to go after the one. And are you going to join him in that? And then Lloyd spoke and talked about purity and asking the question, will we do what it takes to purify ourselves? And then last week, we built monuments and we talked about what it looks like to celebrate what God is doing in our life and what he has done and why that's so important. And then Lloyd left town. And we moved to Joshua chapter 5, and I got stuck with this one. And so today, one word we're going to talk about, circumcision. All right. So I hope you're ready for this. I'm going to try to just cut to the point today. And hopefully none of this will cut too deep, but we'll see. So, all right, now that we got that out of the way, now that you're all squirming in your seats and... you know, it's funny because it's the same sense I get when I was a youth pastor and we do the purity talks. Like, it's that same sense here. But in all reality, so circumcision is this thing that we don't really talk about a lot in church because, well, you know. But it specifically was what was known as a covenant commitment. And in the Bible, a covenant commitment was defined as an agreement between God and his people in which God makes promises to his people and usually requires certain conduct from them. So there's something that we do and God does. It's a partnership. It's a full-on commitment. So I was trying to think of the best way to illustrate this and didn't want to. Anyway, so I went to start thinking about breakfast. And one of my favorite breakfasts is bacon and eggs. So this is really funny because... yesterday afternoon, my daughter Lacey was, my notes were laying on the table, and she comes in, and she's like, why are you talking about bacon and eggs tomorrow? I'm like, just trust me, it goes. So bacon and eggs, love bacon and eggs, but here's the reality of it. If you're talking about breakfast, there's two parties involved in creating this breakfast. There's a chicken, and there's a pig. Chicken's got to lay the eggs. Bacon has to be provided by the pig, but there's a big difference between the two. You see, the chicken is just kind of involved in breakfast. He lays the eggs, he's done. Have a good morning. The pig is committed. He's all in. He either gives his life and we get bacon, or we're stuck with eggs and toast, which nobody likes eggs and toast. Got to have the bacon. And so there's a big difference between the two parties here. One of them is just involved, but the other is committed. And there's this little cartoon strip that illustrates this really well. Hey, Pig, I was thinking we should open a restaurant. I don't know, what would we call it? How about ham and eggs? No thanks. I'd be committed, but you'd only be involved. And so here's the thing about this, is as we're thinking about this covenant commitment and what this looks like in life, we've been on this journey to the promised land. We've been going through, and so far, we've just kind of been able to be involved. All the steps along, you could kind of be involved. You could be involved in believing and having courage. Everybody likes to believe and have courage and step out and do something new, and that's awesome. And I can get involved with that. I can get involved with coming together in unity and doing the whole unify thing. I don't mind getting involved in that. That's cool. Going after the one, yeah, I can get involved with that. Purifying myself, I can get involved with that. But there comes a place, there comes a moment as you are moving forward in what God is doing that you have to decide, am I just simply going to be involved in what God is doing, or am I going to be committed to what God is doing? And that's the picture that's painted by this covenant commitment. You see, they were marching to the promised land, and they'd all been kind of involved, but there was a moment they had to decide, either I'm committed or I'm nothing. And they had to make that decision, and we'll get to that in a second. But a few weeks ago, Lloyd talked about three different groups of people that are pretty much represented here every Sunday. And the first group of people are those of you that you're new to this whole thing, this whole talk about the promised land and going after what God has for us, and all you're new to this, and it sounds really awesome. You're like, I can get involved with that. I can kind of tiptoe into that. I can jive with the unity thing and the courage thing and all this. But there's a moment where you have to decide, am I just going to be involved in this, or am I going to commit myself to this? Am I going to commit myself to the things that God has and to do the things that He's calling me to do and to take hold of the promises He has for me? Am I going to go all in? And then there's those of you that have done this thing before and you got burnt. You made a commitment one time. You went all in and somebody hurt you. The church hurt you. Something happened that there was an issue and you got burnt. And you're looking at this whole thing going, you're talking about this. I don't know. I'm okay with just being involved right now. I'm okay with just hanging out. But I don't know about this commitment thing because that hurt. That the last time, that didn't go so well. But there comes a moment where you have to decide, am I going to just be involved or am I going to have the faith to commit fully and go after this with everything that I have? And then there's those of you that have been doing this for a long time. You know what commitment looks like. There's a whole generation behind you that needs to see you model that. There's a whole generation behind you that needs to understand what commitment looks like. And you have the responsibility to show that, to model that, to show them what moving from involvement to commitment looks like. So wherever you are this morning, wherever you're sitting in this process and this journey, this whole covenant commitment thing is real. And there's a place for you to jump in this morning. There's a place for you to make this decision. So let's jump into Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to be reading about 12 verses here, but we're going to start with verse 1 of Joshua chapter 5. So turn there, and then it'll also be on the screen. Here we go. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all of the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. At that time, the Lord told Joshua, make flint knives. By the way, I looked up a picture of what a flint knife looks like. Okay. And circumcise the second generation of Israelites. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth, however you say that. Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they had left Egypt had died in the wilderness. Those who left Egypt had been circumcised, but none of those born after the Exodus during the years in the wilderness, remember they've been there for 40 years, none of them had been circumcised. The Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died. For they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed He would not let them enter the land He had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's places. How cool is that? This passing of the baton, a new generation rising up. For they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. So, this happened, and there was pain. There was pain everywhere. And they rested in the camp. I mean, this was, here's the thing about this. This was not a smart military move. If you know anything about biblical history, you know that there's a story in Genesis where a couple guys go into a city and they talk the entire city into circumcising all of their males. And then a day later, they go in and wipe them out because, well, none of the guys are up to fighting. And so this is not a military smart move. Now, we talked about how the whole Rahab thing and the spies going in, it was a military failure. Then where they crossed on the Jordan River, that was not a military smart move. It was too close to Jericho, and it was really deep and all these things. They had kind of made some military unwise move, it seems. But to top it all off, he decides to mutilate the entire male army in one day. And then for quite a few days, they're left in pain, and they're not fighting. If Jericho had got wind of this, they would have descended on them and wiped out the whole Israelite army in the matter of minutes, because none of those guys were fighting, trust me. So we see this military move that didn't make sense, but the truth of the matter is, how many times do we get to a place in our life where our wisdom runs out? And there are things that God wants to do, and there are moves that God wants us to make that do not make sense to our own wisdom. And God says, believe me on this one, trust me on this one. So it was suicide from a military standpoint. But it represented that they were dying to themselves so that they could live for God. It was a representation that they were setting themselves apart from all the other nations and were saying, we are committed to what God is doing. They did it because they trusted God and His directions instead of their own wisdom. And God had just parted another body of water for them. They had seen God do these incredible things. They had this faith in believing, God, if you tell us to do this, you're going to take care of it. I'm sure some of them were looking at Joshua going, sure about this? I don't know. But they had the faith to believe that the wisdom of God, that He was calling them to this commitment. So then we continue on the story in verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt, so that place has been called Gilgal to this day. Now, this is incredible. We have this covenant commitment that happens, this circumcision that happens, and then God says, now because of this, I am rolling away the shame of your past. Those stories that you've heard about slavery, all the shame that you have walked around with in the desert for 40 years, all of the failures that you've walked away, today, because of this commitment that you are making, I am rolling that shame away. You see, this wasn't a one-sided thing. It wasn't them going back to this covenant commitment thing. It wasn't you do this and good job. There was a covenant that was happening, a working together with God that said, as you make this commitment, I will release the shame from your life. And you will walk in freedom. You will walk in new life. And the past is no longer. It's a beautiful thing that happens when we walk into these commitments, these covenant commitments with God. And then in verse 10 through 12, while the Israelites were camped in Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it never was seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. This was interesting to me. You see, up until that point, God had just kind of been dumping manna out for them, been showing up on the ground, and they'd been collecting it and eating it. It was the way of God's provision for them. But this covenant commitment happens. He removes the shame of their past, and all of a sudden, their perspective changes, and His provision looks a little bit different. But they begin partnering with Him, because who has to work the land? They do. But God is still providing for them. But their perspective is changing. Something new is happening. It's not just sitting back and kind of being involved in what God's doing and God just kind of throwing it out there for them. There's this covenant commitment. This shame is lifted. And there is this engagement with their Creator to go forward. I just think that's so incredible. And so they get to work with Him to provide. And so we flash forward to the New Testament. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, we hear this. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Thank you, Jesus. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. There's a commentary that says our spiritual circumcision meant the putting off of the old man. And the Greek word there that was used was the word for putting off, which is a double compound. And it literally denotes both the stripping off and the casting away. The imagery is that of discarding or being divested of a piece of filthy clothing. So in this very moment of this circumcision, God literally removes the shame, this filthy, dirty clothing, removes the shame from our life and sets us up for new life, sets us up for a different perspective, sets us up in a new way to move forward in commitment with Him. So what does this look like practically? Here's the thing. There's some things that involved people have. People that are involved always have a way out when it doesn't work out. They have a way to get out of things because they're not really committed. So when everything starts to go south, they have a way out. Involved people have someone else to blame when things go wrong. Well, that wasn't my idea. I didn't even really committed to that idea. I don't know. I don't know whose idea that was. I wasn't even really a part of that. Involved people always have a backup plan. Because what if things go wrong? What if this doesn't work out? They have a backup plan. Involved people always have excuses of why they won't commit. Involved people always make excuses for why I can't commit to that. I can't do that. Involved people have convenience. Because today, I can be involved with what's going on. But tomorrow, I'm out. It's not convenient. Now it's convenient again. And involved people get to play this game of convenience when it comes to the things of God and what's happening. Involved people have other priorities. There's other things, because let's think about it. There's other things in life that we do commit to. And involved people, when it comes to the things of God, sometimes have other priorities that they've already committed to that sometimes get in the way. And so, I've already committed to this. I can't commit to this. So I'm just going to be involved in this. Committed people only have one thing. The only thing that committed people have is nothing but God to rely on. You see, there was a moment for this army, for these children of Israel, that they had to decide, am I committed? And when I commit, I've got nothing but God. This doesn't make sense. This is stupid. This is going to be incredibly painful. All I have to rely on is God. Because there's no involvement when it comes to circumcision. It's a commitment. And first service, I said, you know, they probably weren't jumping in line, you know, to be first in line for this. And somebody else pointed out that, well, they probably were, because knives get more dull over time. But anyway, this is the thing. This is the process of, this is painful. This hurts. We don't like to commit. Commitment is hard. But the beautiful thing about this is we don't just commit to an empty promise. We don't just commit to emptiness. We have nothing but God to rely on, and He removes the shame of the past. There are some of us that are not committing because of our failures. We want to play the involvement game because there's things in our past that we're ashamed of, or there's hurts in our past, or there's things that have happened. And we choose not to commit because of that, because I'm not good enough. I can't commit because I'm not good enough. But when we choose to commit, God goes, I'll remove that. It's a beautiful exchange. It's an exchange that happens that we make a covenant commitment and God says, I'll remove it all. You're now a new creation.
Your past is gone. I have redeemed you. I have set you free. Do not walk in shame anymore. And we live in freedom and a new understanding, a new perspective of who God is and what His provisions look like. Commitment's a heart thing. The literal, one of the definitions of the word committed is that it is wholeheartedly dedicated. That we take our whole heart and we put it into something. I've been listening to the new album by Bethel called Have It All. And there's a song on there called Pieces. And this song talks about that God doesn't give us pieces of Himself. He doesn't give us a piece here or a piece there. God gives all of Himself to us. And in return, I should be giving it all to Him. I shouldn't be giving Him a piece of my heart here, a piece of my heart there. Oh, this is convenient. I'll give you this one. Wait, I didn't mean to give you that one. Let me have that one back. It's all in. God, I am committed to you. Everything is on the line. Everything is in. God, I am all in. I'm not just involved in what you're doing. I am committed to what you're doing. And so when it comes to church or when it comes to moving forward in the body of Christ, there's some different ways this looks like. But for maybe some of you, it's joining a small group for the first time. And it's being vulnerable and it's being accountable to a group of people that are all choosing to be committed and move in the same direction. You're saying, I've always kind of kept it to myself, but I'm going to make a commitment to put it out there. I'm going to make a commitment to join with others. Maybe it's stepping into a place of leading, of volunteering, of stepping into ministry and saying, I've just kind of showed up, I've just kind of hung out, I've just kind of been involved in what's happening, but I need to commit myself and be a part of the team. I need to commit myself and put myself into the midst of ministry because God is calling me to that. Maybe for some of us, it's like Shannon shared a few weeks ago, my wife, and that day that she walked into a counselor's office and she had to make a decision, am I committed to complete healing or am I just going to kind of be involved? And she made a commitment to say, God, here I am. And she laid it all on the table. Maybe it's moving into a place of outreach in your work or in the city or in the suburb or wherever that looks like, but saying, God, I'm committed to this. I'm going to step into this. I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. I'm not just going to be involved and sort of show up, but I'm going to go all in. A forgiveness. There's somebody that's hurt you. And you've been involved in forgiving them. You've kind of said, no, forgive them. But God's saying, I want you to commit to forgiving them. Go all in. Lay it all on the table. Dads, there's a saying that says you should be involved in your kid's life. I don't like it. You should be committed to your kid's life. Dads, move from a place of just being involved to a place of being committed. To them seeing you follow after Christ, to seeing you raise them in the understanding of who God is and what He does. This past Christmas, I bought my girls a one-year devotional. I didn't realize how big of a commitment that was until every day they remind me, we're doing the one-year devotional. We got to keep up. But these are the ways that we choose to say, I'm not just going to be involved and sort of know what's happening. I'm going to be committed to pouring into this thing. Spouses, husbands, wives, don't just be involved. Be committed to each other. Know what each other is thinking. Know what each other needs. Be committed to the relationship. Be committed to seeing health. Be committed to calling out the best in them. Be committed to raising them up for success. Be committed. Don't just be involved in that relationship. Friends, this is what I'm growing in. It's easy to be an involved friend. It's easy to show up when it's convenient. It's easy to be there when it's easy. What does it look like to be a committed friend, to go all in as a friend? I'm still learning that one. I'm on a journey with that one. But every area, physically, what does it look like to not just be involved in health and And all of those things, what does it look like to commit? I remember the breaking point. Shannon had kind of changed up our diet, and we were changing up some of the things we were eating, and I would, every night for dinner, eat whatever she made with a smile. And then I would go out with my friends or whoever and get what I really wanted to eat. And then I had to make the decision. Am I going to be committed to this, or am I just going to be involved in this? And there came a place where I had to be committed. Financially, it's easy to be involved. It's easy to throw a little bit of money here, throw a little bit of money there, kind of look at the finances every once in a while, be involved. Are you going to commit to your finances, to giving, to aligning this stuff with God? Every area of your life, are you willing to move from just kind of being involved to being committed? You see, I'm calling you guys to be pigs today. That's really what this boils down to, and not be chickens. But there comes this place where we have to decide, am I going all in? Am I putting everything on the line? Because as we see from this story, they hadn't got to the promised land yet. But they had to decide, are they committed? Are they committed to this? And they had to choose. But the beautiful thing was, they were committed and God removed the shame. It's a two-part thing. It's a two-part scenario. Because as we commit, the shame is removed. And we march forward into what God is calling us to. You know, even this past week, as I was working on this, I was talking to Shannon, and we were talking about what's an area in our life, and we started talking about we've been involved in trafficking, anti-trafficking stuff, but we've just been involved, and we kind of said that this week, we've just been involved in this, but it's really a thing that's on our hearts, and it's really a thing that God is working in us. And so I said the question, I think it's time that we start asking God, what does it look like to commit to this? Not just be involved when it's convenient but what does it look like to commit, to go all in? And I think we've all got things in our life that we can ask that question about and say, what does it look like for me to not just be involved, but to be committed? What does it look like for me not to just be involved in what God is doing, but be committed to what God is doing and have the shame of my past removed so that I can go forward and be committed with Him? So I want you to bow your heads this morning. Go ahead and stand up and bow your heads. I want you to start thinking this through. And this seems like a very hard message and it is. I'm pretty sure that whole army of men that day were not jumping up and down really excited for the altar call. This wasn't a moment where they were super excited. And there comes those moments sometimes in our life where God is calling us to something and we know it's the right thing. And we know we're supposed to commit. But sometimes you got to muster up a little bit of excitement with it. You got to muster this thing up. You got to say, all right, God, I'm, what did I say? The only thing you have left is trust in God, faith in God. And so this morning, what I'm calling myself to, what I'm calling you to, is a place of commitment, a hard place. And it's a hard place that in that place, God removes shame. God removes the past. And He makes you new. So I'm going to ask our prayer team today when they come up, if they can kind of come more to the middle. I'm going to ask you to make a hard step today. I'm going to ask you if there's things in your life, if there's something that you've pinpointed, you said, I've just been involved. This morning, I need to commit. I want to ask you to get out of your seat this morning and come down and meet. I'll be down here. A couple other people will be down here to pray with you. And to pray commitment this morning. To pray, I'm not going to be involved anymore. And God is going to show up. And there's some shame that some of you are walking with this morning, and he's going to lift that off of you. And a new perspective is going to happen. You're going to be able to walk out here expecting God to provide in a new way. And you're going to partner with him in that. So Father, this morning I thank you that you give us the opportunity to not just be involved in what you're doing, to not just give part of ourselves, to not just give when it's convenient, to not just tiptoe in, but you're giving us the opportunity to jump in and be committed to what you're doing, be committed to the call, being committed to going and taking the promised land, being committed to living in the midst of who you are and what you are doing. And you are going to remove the shame. Thank you for the opportunity this morning. Let us respond, Jesus. So as they play this last song, this altar will be open.
You've been listening to a message from Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. Email any questions to streamschurch@msn.com. The mission of Streams Church is very simple: to lead people into their life calling, a relationship with Jesus Christ that is challenging, growing, and purposeful. For more information about service times, location, or events, go to streamschurch.org.